So let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, and we pray that as we reflect upon it for a little while, you will come and minister to us, speak to us afresh, we pray, through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder how many of you are going down to Heart and Soul this afternoon. This is the first time since Heart and Soul started that I've not been able to go. And I'm really having there's a wee tug in my heart this morning. I'm just wondering if anybody would like to kidnap me and stick me in the back of the bus and I can just phone from Edinburgh to Brayhead House and say, I'm really sorry, I'm down here at Heart and Soul. This year, the theme for Heart and Soul is the people of the way. And the new Pray Now book that's produced by the Church of Scotland every year is called People of the Way. And I commend it to you as a Presbytery Prayer Coordinator. I commend this book to you. Every year the church puts out a prayer book. It's a wonderful resource for folks. And this time it's all about the people of the way. Remember the first time going down to Heart and Soul? And I was absolutely astonished when I got there, the amount of people who were going through Princes Street Gardens. And it was just the most wonderful occasion. People gathering together, people of the Church of Scotland and other churches, people who maybe don't go to church, just wandering through. But a wonderful afternoon of the celebration of the church, the people of the way. People gathering to worship, to pray, people singing, sharing stories. All you hear is people meeting up with one another, blethering away, catching up on news and what's been happening in their church and in their lives, meeting old friends, making new friends, caught up in the joy of being followers of the Lord, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I can remember that very first time I was down, I looked up to the Princes Street Gardens, looked up at the railings, you know, that go along, and saw all the people who were in Princes Street looking out over down towards what was happening in the gardens. And I went away up and I stood at the railings and I spoke to a man and he said, what's going on down there? And I said, it's the church. And he went, what? I said, it's the church. Look at all the people. He said, that's not what church is. I said, what is church? He said, it's that building at the end of my street that's shut up half the time during the week and open a Sunday morning. That's what the church is. I went, no, that's the building. See all the folk down there? That's the church. And he went, nah. He said, how much is it to get in? I said, you should go down and see. He says, how much is it to get in? I said, it's free. He went, that's not the church. But it is the church, the people of the way. People coming together to share stories of faith. The journey of faith is a journey of encounters with the living Lord as we pray, as we study his word, but encounters with folks who are also followers of the way. I went back onto the Church of Scotland website, Starters for Sunday, and they were sharing some thoughts about this particular day of Heart and Soul. And one of the readings that they were recommending to look at was the story of the disciples on the Emmaus Road, on their journey of faith. We know the story well. It was the evening after the resurrection, and two disciples were walking home away from Jerusalem. They'd been about 7 miles on the journey. They were on their way home and they were desolate. Their hopes were dashed. Their dreams and their hopes for the future following Jesus were just away. They were disappointed. They were grieving. They were still in a state of shock as they walked along the road. And as they walked along, they spoke to one another, sharing with one another what had happened. And we know from the story that as they were going along, a stranger appeared and joined them for a little part of the journey. And he asked them, "What are you talking about as you walk along the way?" And they were saying, "Have you not heard the news? Have you not heard all these things that have happened in these last days?" And they shared with him what had been happening. And then he began to speak to them. And he began to share with them all that had been spoken in advance about the Messiah coming, the Lord coming. And they listened to him as they travelled along the road. They reached their home, as we know, and they were going in, and the stranger was making to go further on. But they were so taken with him, they were so enthralled at what he'd been saying, that they asked him to come into their house and share a meal with them. And we know that as the meal was shared and the stranger took the bread and broke it, their eyes were opened and they realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was in their midst, that he had been raised from the dead, that what the woman had told them was true. He wasn't in the tomb anymore. He was in their presence. And then Jesus takes his leave of these two and he continues on his way, and they run all the way back to Jerusalem. They run all the way back to meet the other followers of the way, to meet the other disciples and say, "It's true. It's true. The Lord is risen and we have seen him." And so the good news of the risen Lord begins to travel. The faith of the people begins to travel. The journey goes on. And you know, our faith is meant to travel. It's not meant just to be a personal thing that's for us to keep to ourselves. The gift of faith is meant to go out from us, to travel. It's meant to be transformative. It's meant to be transient, moving. And Peter is writing to a community of people aware of the transient nature of their faith. The author of 1 Peter is wanting to lay a groundwork for Christians of that time and for Christians of today and for believers who will follow on from us. And he wants them to be confident about their faith. He wants them to be confident about knowing who they are, people of the way, followers of the Lord Jesus. He wants them to be confident to be able to share their faith with one another. As I walked on the pilgrimage towards Santiago de Compostela, there were so many others, although I was travelling alone, there were so many other people I could see ahead of me and behind me, and sometimes people would come alongside and they'd walk a few kilometres with me, and sometimes we could talk about why they were doing the journey. And it's amazing how many people are just doing that journey. And they're doing it in a spiritual way, as a walk of prayer. They're maybe doing it because they want to remember someone in prayer. They're maybe doing it because someone they love has died and they want to just honour their name. They're maybe at a crisis or a crossroads in their journey of faith, and they're making that walk to try and listen for God, to try and get some direction in their lives. And there were other people who were just doing the walk because they wanted to do it. But I'm sure that every single person that does that walk will be touched in some way by the other people that they encounter on their journey. Paul was speaking to a scattered people, people who were far from their homeland, and he was encouraging them to stick together, encouraging them to become the church wherever they were, encouraging them to share their faith so that more people could join them and be confident that they were following the risen Lord. When I was doing the walk, I quickly found that it became a walk of prayer. And it wasn't a chore to me. Every morning I got up in the morning, packed my bag, got on my way, and it was like a walk of prayer. It was like I was walking in the footsteps of all these other people who'd prayed the way before me, and as if I was walking on air. And I decided when I went that I would pray particularly for two little boys who were on the prayer list down at Brayhead House. One little boy who has been waiting for a long time for a heart transplant, his name is Aaron Brown, and he's 5 years old, and he's waiting for a heart transplant. And it's a difficult prayer to pray because we know that if this little boy is to receive a transplant, then another family are going to be grieving the loss of a little one. So we pray, and I prayed for this wee boy as I went on the walk. And just before I went away, we got news in to say that he was in intensive care and he wasn't doing too well. So every day I was praying for the little boy. And the other little boy I was praying for was one of my grandsons who had a hole in the heart, it was discovered. And so I began to pray for Jackson as well as I walked along the way, just lifting them and others before the Lord. And sometimes when I was walking, I was praying out loud, and sometimes as I was walking, I was singing out loud. And sometimes people who were walking with me took off at that point because I'm not a good singer, but just it came, you know, I just wanted to praise the Lord as I was going along, and just a wonderful time of prayer and praise and worship. When I got home, there was a message on my answering machine to say that the little boy, Aaron Brown, had made a great recovery from how ill he'd been in an intensive care, and had been moved back into the main ward, and if his health continued to improve, he'd get shifted back up to Scotland from down in England. And just a few weeks ago, we heard that he was back home, and he's going to nursery. He can only go for a half an hour at a time, but he's getting back in. He still needs his transplant, but he seems to be gaining in strength. And my daughter phoned to say she had the appointment for the scan for her wee boy, and all day long I was praying and wondering what was happening. And sometimes children are bad at getting back to you, aren't they? You know, we're worrying away, we're panicking away, and they're not getting in touch. And all day long I was waiting for a phone call or a text or something. But at the end of the day, I just had to phone her and say, "What's going on?" "Oh, he's fine," she says. "The heart has sealed over by itself." And I went, "Wow, that's amazing." And I put the phone down and I went away to my bed praising the Lord and saying, "Thank you." But during the night I woke up and I thought, you know, I should tell my daughter about this. I should tell her. She's not a believer. She doesn't believe in prayer. She's not interested in the Lord Jesus Christ or church or anything. And I thought, I should really tell her. And I thought, oh, I know what she'll say. But the next day I thought, no, I'm going to tell her. But I was praying for this wee boy when I was away. So I phoned her up, I told her, you know, I was praying for Jackson while I'm away, and maybe God has answered prayer. And she went, "Well, maybe." Maybe. But I think it's important that we share our faith as we're on the journey. We all have stories that we can tell to people about how God has touched our lives. And it's encouragement for other followers of the way. It's an encouragement for other believers when we can share our stories with them. But it's also sometimes it can just be that wee seed that drops into an unbeliever's heart when we have the courage to speak out. And I had stopped praying for my daughter. You know, I used to always pray for her every day, but I've started praying for her again that she might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And just the other day, she phoned and she'd been really upset because a group that she goes to with the twins, the funding had run out. And it was the second last day of the group running to help mothers who are a bit stressed out with wee ones. And the staff had all been in to say goodbye to the children and they were crying. She said, "Everybody was crying, Mum." And we went the next day and it was the last day. And just about an hour into it, one of the carers came in and she said, "We've been granted funding for another 3 years." And my daughter said, and I never thought I'd hear this coming out of her mouth, but she said, "It's a miracle, Mum." And I said, "Yeah, it's a miracle, Elsie." You better believe it. We are privileged to be called, chosen, named by the Lord Jesus Christ to be followers of the way. He followed faithfully his journey on earth. For 3 years, he walked on the earth, traveling from place to place, meeting one person after another, preaching and teaching and healing. It was a hard road for him. It was a hard journey for him. But he obeyed the Father. He obeyed him even to death and beyond. And just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday last week, and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the first believers, and the church birthed and sent out into all the world to be the bearers of the good news. We are the people of the way. And as we go out of here this morning, we all have stories to share with other people, to bring encouragement, to bring healing, to bring wholeness. So get out there. You don't have to take a lot with you. You just have to take the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of your fellow brothers and sisters, believers and non-believers alike. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who walked the earth and called men and women to follow him, to become people of the way. And we thank you that that's who we are today. And we thank you that you've given each one of us a story to share of our own encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, of our own encounters with our fellow brothers and sisters. And so, Father, give us the courage today not to keep our faith to ourselves, but to go share, that others might come to know the risen Lord through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.